Bergman, I actually think you've been better than usual today.
No,
I don't think you've mailed it in at all. How are you holding up?
Look at that. I'm doing all right. I'm ready to keep going. One more hour.
I bought him some body armor.
One more hour. And Greg, I just got a note here that my bus got moved up, so you're gonna have to sit in for me on the late crosstalk. I'm gonna extend your long day even longer.
Hey, thanks, John.
You gotta go till about 4:10 today.
Perfect.
And then you're done.
Happy to do it.
All right, so I have a challenge for the three of you that I don't think you can possibly complete, and it takes a little explaining to do. Conan O'Brien, the great Conan O'Brien, did late nights at NBC for many, many years. Then after the Jay Leno debacle, he went to, where was it, Greg, where he did, was it TBS where he did his last 5 or 6 years?
Yes, I believe
so. He did the Conan show. So now he does a podcast, and he was on his podcast yesterday, and his assistant's name is Sona. And he asked Sona to do something that, as you'll hear, she really can't do. Here's the exchange between Conan and his assistant, whose name is Sona.
What's cool about me?
Yeah, you know what? I think you're a cool guy.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Name something that's cool about me.
Yeah, Sona.
Seriously.
And name one thing that's cool.
Don't think.
Try and buy time. What you said, you're a cool guy. What's kind of cool about me?
Can I tell you what I think is cool? That cool comedians think that your comedy is cool. So you yourself, I don't know, but like the people.
Okay. So the gist was, say something cool about me, and she can't do it. So just promise me the three of you will answer this question honestly.
All right.
Okay.
Ramona.
Yep.
Say something cool about me. Name one cool thing about me.
You're the radio play-by-play voice of the Lakers.
Oh, he took mine.
Well, that job is cool, but I think I'm very uncool by nature. Jorge, one cool thing about me.
I can do better.
Momo took mine.
John, go ahead. I think that you are very well-groomed.
That's true, but it's not cool.
It's not cool.
Okay, I mean, it's not uncool. Like, you look like you brush your hair every day.
Yes, you brush your hair every day. There is one cool thing. It's how you interact with people, celebrities, regular, matter. You're cool in that way. You're cool under pressure in that moment with people. It could be with LeBron or with me. Yes, you're comfortable anywhere. That's cool.
But that one, I don't know if you feel the same way about yourself, but the one thing I am not, and I think Conan was making this point, is cool. I've never been cool. I've never thought of it. I think my whole act is uncool. I'm like a
dork.
I'm like a sports nerd, but I own it. You know what I mean? Do you consider yourself cool, Ramona?
Am I cool? That would not be the first word that comes to mind. I would not say that I'm uncool, but I don't think I actively cultivate a cool reputation. Like that's not like that's not something I'm trying to be all the time. I'm trying to be likable. I'm trying to be nice. Trying to be good at what I do.
Yeah, see, I'm all those things too. Yeah. But none of those things are cool. Like I think Sedano's cool.
Yeah, Sedano's.
I think Cap can be cool. I think Mason and I are the two uncoolest people on the planet. But it works for us because we kind of own it.
Like, John, how often have you changed your fashion repertoire in the last 30 years?
Well, I'm trying to think of... I have a lot of cool clothes, but I think I make them less cool by wearing them.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I'll see... Like, I was making... Lisa asked me to come up with some stuff to get me for Christmas. So, I like my clothes, but they would look cooler on someone else.
Okay. I feel like I always look just nice enough to be on TV. Like, I look professional and
I actually
nice
think you look really... And I tell you... I text you and tell you this. I think you look really good on TV.
Yeah.
I think... Matter of fact, this is a weird compliment.
Yeah, thanks. I'll take it.
Because people used to say it to me when I was on TV for 30 years. And this is what you want if you're on TV.
Yeah.
You look better on TV than you do in person.
Right, I agree with that. Well, I also have professional hair and makeup when I'm doing television.
Yeah.
And when I show up for radio, I am like, I took a shower. I probably stuck my head out the window to dry my hair on the drive-in. I put on a shirt. Everything I wear is clean, Like, some days I may have some makeup on, but not really. Like, I'm not trying all that hard. The probably the coolest thing I am, I probably have a cool job. I get to do cool things
in
my
job.
We
all do.
Yeah.
All right. So cool. If somebody said, what's an example of a cool person? What would you say?
Like, I think a cool person is somebody that is fun to be around, that makes you feel good being in their presence.
Like, I think Jack Nicholson's really cool. I think he can pull some things off that, I mean, he doesn't come to games anymore as much as he used to, but I think he can pull some things off that just by being at an event, it makes the event cooler. I think George Clooney's cool.
The Rock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, The Rock can be.
Keanu Reeves?
Yeah. Zidane just reminded me. What? He just sent me a text. This is so perfect.
Okay.
Zidane came up with this phrase, and I told him I was going to steal it from him. What I am is a DWAP. D-W-A-P. You know what that stands for?
Dork with a platform. I know it.
Dork with a platform.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, Sedano came up with that to describe it. Sedano's cooler than I am, but that was his bit that he came up with. He goes, we're all dorks with a platform. But I laughed when Conan O'Brien's assistant couldn't come up with anything cool, and I thought, you know, no one I know, like not even Lisa, could come up with like ways that.
So
I'm
who do
cool.
you think is cool? Like who do we think Clinton Yates is cool because he wears like fashionable clothes? Like he's got a little style to him.
At the state, who's the coolest person at the station?
At the station.
Jorge's
kind of cool. You got some swag.
Oh, thanks. I think Mario's one of those.
Mario's
cool.
Mario. Yeah, Mario's definitely.
That's a good
Mario's
answer.
Got the swag. Yeah.
Yeah, Mario is very, if I was introducing Mario to somebody, this is my friend Mario, he's really cool. That's a good answer. Jorge, you have an aura of cool around you.
Oh,
you can kind of make anything work.
Yeah.
No, when that time you wore like 30 jerseys in a row,
yeah,
you never looked awkward. Like if I wore 30 jerseys in a row, 25 of those days I would look like an idiot.
I got one on right now.
You never did. You just, what do you have on today?
The Mexico one from today's game, yeah.
Oh, yeah, from the game today. But yeah. I found it very interesting that Sona, Conan's assistant, like, couldn't come up with anything that made him cool. It was
to me, though, like, that definition of cool is a little superficial. Like, that's just clothes, and you have a good Instagram, and you kind of, like, are funny or something, or you got, like, an aura of, like, untouchability or like you're, but to me, like somebody I think is cool is if you're nice to people and you make them feel good about themselves. Like when you sit in a room with somebody, if after a 10-minute conversation, that person has totally put you at ease, made you feel good about yourself, you walk out of the room, you're like, man, that was cool.
Carlos,
I like that guy.
You know who has
it? Yeah, Carlos, cool like that.
Who?
Yeah,
Carlo.
You know who? Carlos Saizu. He's a great guy. I don't know if I would describe this as cool, but I've been in a room at least three, maybe four times with Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And he makes you feel like he looks you right in the eye. He talks to you. He makes you feel like you're the most important person in the room. He's just great at it. He's got a sense of cool and style that it really works. And that's the, that's the whole thing. All right. So I'm going to pivot here. I wanted to get this in here because I saw it, Ramona, and I thought of you.
Oh.
There's a woman named Olivia Pichardo, and she's going to become the first woman to play Division I baseball. It's going to be at Brown, which is in the Ivy League. She's a utility infielder. There have been other women to play college baseball, but not Division I.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about you because you're the best college softball player that I'm actually friends with. Like, I know Mendoza
and
I know a handful of other people, but I'm friends with you.
Yeah.
If you would have been good enough to play on the men's baseball team at Stanford, but you're going to be a utility infielder, you're not going to play very much, or you could have the exact experience you had, be a contributor on a team that goes to the College World Series. I don't want to come off as a guy like, don't play with the men. I think it's cool that Olivia Pichardo is breaking barriers here. So I don't want to come off as a Neanderthal. But if she's good enough to play Division I baseball. Okay, if she's good enough to play Division I baseball, that must mean that she would be a really good asset to the softball team. Which one would you pick if you had the choice?
I play softball. I mean, this is not a popular opinion. I probably should. I always want to support the women who play baseball, because if that's what you're really into.
Me too. That's why I wanted to couch it in that way. I don't want to come across that way.
That's come up. Like, we had a girl on our softball team in high school, and she's still there, so I can say her name. Her name is Kara Blumfield, right? She was a great baseball player. Grew up at the baseball fields, and she played baseball. And when she got to high school, she just converted and played softball. And then she ended up playing in college someplace. I can't remember where, but she was like a city section player of the year. Like, she had a great softball career. And she converted, and she had a lot more opportunities to play softball because there were softball scholarships. I think Boston College, maybe something like that. Anyway, she, like, you're just going to have a lot more opportunities if you convert from baseball to softball. If you want to play baseball, if that's really your thing, fine. But you're probably not going to get the same scholarship opportunities and chances to play, because it's just, the system isn't set up that way. And it is a different game. I mean, you have similar skill sets, but like, when I play baseball, it takes a while for me to get the grip right, because the softball is so much bigger. So you learn a release point on a softball. And then I remember the Dodgers had a media game and I played baseball, and I was like, whoa, this is really weird for me to throw a base. It's so small compared.
Right.
So it takes a minute. Clearly you could learn, but the strategy is different. The ball's different. The dimensions are different. It doesn't mean that you can't be a good baseball player if you're a woman, but if I had a daughter, if I had anybody who ever asked me, I wouldn't say like, okay, switch, if just, you know, you have to switch. But like, it's hard to not argue for that when there are so many scholarships available for softball and really none for women to play baseball. Like, why would you do that? Yeah, it doesn't seem like a good choice.
She's going to be famous because she's going to break down. Yeah. You know, like, you remember the name Janet Guthrie, who was the first woman to race in the Indy 500.
Yeah, Moni Davis, remember? Right? She, you know, and she played in the World Series, Little League World Series.
Yeah, Manon Raume, the goalie who I think is now working in Southern California for, she works for the Kings of the Ducks, I think she's.
Most of the time, the women who play baseball didn't have softball as an option. Like, there was a baseball league, but not necessarily a softball option.
Right. But this girl clearly does have that option.
Yeah, I just wouldn't do it.
Which struck me as well. Like, I just want to bring it up to you.
You know, it's fine. I want to support her. Go ahead. Good for you. You know, just seems like you're making it harder on yourself than it needs to be. Like, is she getting a full ride to Brown? Like, is she?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so good. So it worked out.
Yeah, so good for her.
Yeah.
But I it struck me as, like, if she sits on the end of the bench and never plays, like, I always used to say, I always have respect for, like, these kids that go to USC to play quarterback.
Yeah.
And they get beat out. And then they leave.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I would do. I would leave. I don't want to sit on the bench. Yeah. I only have 4 years to play
college sports. My freshman year, I played just about every game. I started just about every game in right field. I was okay. I was a good defensive player. I started off hot, and then I cooled off towards the end of the year. I kind of petered out, and then I think towards the end I didn't start. But my second year, we got this big recruiting class. That was the year Mendoza came in, and we had three or four other really stud players, right, who came in. And I went from being starter every game in right field to, like, fifth or sixth out of six outfielders. Like, I was mostly a pinch runner and defensive replacement for Mendoza when she needed that, right? And it sucked. It really sucked. Like
looking back, if you would have been given an opportunity to go play every game somewhere else, you might have done it.
Nope, not for Stanford. That's the thing. I was stuck. Like, I wasn't going to leave Stanford. I don't understand anybody.
Because that was important.
Yeah, but Stanford. Like, you don't leave Stanford. Like, you just suck it up. Or what I might have done is not play softball anymore if it was going to continue on like that. Hmm. Because you put in so much time and energy. It's like 4 or 5 hours a day. Practice,
weights,
lifting,
I was thinking about
lifting,
you the other day.
All of that.
And when Elizabeth Holmes got sentenced, was she older or younger than you? Or was she there at the same time?
She's a little younger than me, but it's not that far off. Like, I think she's, I want to say 4 or 5
years
younger.
So you were there around the time of Chelsea Clinton?
Same class.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
and then Elizabeth Holmes came in right
after that.
Chelsea,
I, this is so embarrassing, okay? If you go and look up in the archives, though, Chelsea made her decision to go to Stanford, and that was the final thing that sealed me going to Stanford. Like, literally.
No kidding.
I was debating between a couple of schools. Chelsea's,
did you ever meet her?
Yes, and this is do we have time for this story? It's a long, embarrassing story.
Hold it, because we'll do
it's
that.
It's a very embarrassing story.
And I have a Lane Kiffin thing, too, I'm going to get into. And then, hey, Greg, let me know when Jacob gets there, because I want to bring him in to talk about this guy that ran on the field at the Rose Bowl, okay?
Perfect. He should be here in about the next 15, 20 minutes.
All right, perfect. We got all that coming up. Game of Games still this hour. Mason in Ireland, Momo in for Mace, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Today it's Momo and Ireland as we wind up the week. This will be my last day here, and then we've got the games for you tonight, Friday night, Saturday night. And Ramona was just telling a story how when she was at Stanford, she was in the same class as Chelsea Clinton. And Momo, you say you have an interesting story. I asked if you'd ever met her, and what brought that to mind?
So I was very excited that we were going, you know, my parents actually sat near the Clintons at the parents' weekend. Like, you know, when you first come on campus and all the parents
sure.
take you there.
Yeah.
They had a lunch, and they were like maybe two tables over from Bill and Hillary. That was kind of cool. But
okay.
I never got to meet Chelsea while I was at Stanford, but I tried to engineer a cute meet. Like, I was trying to do it in a way that was like that was normal but not weird, and I think I failed miserably, because like I had this guy from high school that I went to school. He was the only other kid from high school that went to Stanford. So I went and visited him, and he was in Chelsea's freshman dorm. Now, he and I were sort of friends in high school, like ish, I guess, right?
Right.
But
you knew
not, but it was a good enough excuse for me to go over and schedule, like, hey, you want to have lunch today? Like, I'll go over to your dorm and let's have lunch. And I just kept thinking, like, one of these days we're just going to, like, bump into Chelsea and we're going to be friends now, right? Because we're in the same dorm, and, like, just never happened. One day I thought I was going to be in her class, and then she looked like she was there for, like, one class, and then she wasn't. So the whole time I was there, you always knew where Chelsea was because you could see the Secret Service officers. They always dress like
right
too old for college students, but they were like tried to dress like college students, and you're like, oh yeah, that's one of Chelsea's guys. And I knew a lot of people who knew her, but I never knew her myself. When I actually met her, came at my 15-year college reunion, and I think it was the class party, and I'd just been trying to make this happen forever, and it just finally happened at the class reunion because I was on the class panel. Do you watch Insecure? Like how Issa Rae, like,
no,
she went to Stanford in the show, and she was on the class panel. Every 5 years they have a class panel, and they invite people with theoretically interesting stories or what they've done after college to do like a discussion of their lives or whatever. And it's like an interesting time capsule. So I was one of the people on the 15-year class panel. And Chelsea had gone to the panel, and so then she came up to me at the class party and was like, oh, your panel was really interesting. And I was like, oh, finally, after all these years.
15 years later. Yeah.
15 years later. But I was trying not to be like, hey, I've always wanted to meet you. I'm so glad this finally happened. Here's my number. Can we hang out? Let's be friends. Like, I just can't after all that. It's so weird. Like, you just, you know, right? That's like super right. embarrassing at this point. But I tried so many times to engineer a normal but not weird meeting with her and I, and it took 15 years after college for it to finally happen.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, let me get to this Lane Kiffin thing. this kind of applies to you and the world you live in.
Okay.
Because you occasionally will break stories. You'll tell me stuff that you're about to break, and I'll say, okay, that's exciting. And so there is a guy in Mississippi who is named John Sokoloff.
All right.
He's the sports director of the CBS affiliate in Mississippi. He's won a bunch of awards. He's a legit guy. He's like the Jim Hill or the Fred Rogan of Mississippi. So he tweeted this last night. Breaking. Old Miss head coach Lane Kiffin plans to step down as the Rebels coach Friday and head to Auburn to become the Tigers' next coach. Sources say the Tigers haven't officially offered the job to anyone yet, so Lane to Auburn is happening. Story soon. So that's what he tweeted.
How many Twitter follows this guy, and like, what is his affiliation?
He's the sports director at the CBS affiliate.
Okay.
in Mississippi. So okay. He's a legit guy.
Yeah, I mean, legit guy. Okay.
I can tell you how many Twitter followers he has. Hold on, let me look up. But even if he doesn't have a lot, he's been on the air and in that market for a long time. All right, so he's got about 5,000 Twitter followers. Kiffin caught wind of this, and he basically tweeted out, "That's news to me. Nice sources."
Yeah.
So I guess that's a denial?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good denial.
What if you're this guy, Sokolov, and you think you've got it, do you stick with it or do you retract? What do you do?
I think you got to stick with it. If you're that guy and it depends on your sources. Sometimes you just get really bad information and you shouldn't trust it. You and I have gotten probably some bad information from the same person a few times in our career. I think I know who it is, right? I don't know if you're catching my drift. College football information sometimes. somebody who calls us like, "I got a hot one for you." Okay. Chase it down, right? It depends. Like, people hear things and they call you and they get excited about it and then it makes you trust them. But I work for ESPN, and if I report something, I better be right. If you work for the local CBS affiliate there and you're wrong, you can kind of walk that back and be like, "Well, I've got bad information." If you work for ESPN and you get something that wrong, you probably don't have a job tomorrow.
Right.
So I think at that point, if I'm this guy, I just, if my information is totally wrong and your source calls you back and says, "Oops, my bad, I was wrong," then you retract it. But if your source is sticking by it and you think you still might end up being right, might as well stick with it at that point. Say, I know what I heard. I know I got my source, and let's see if, you know, hopefully it turns out right. He probably is not going to answer the questions. But a lot of times those college football hires end up being right because they can't go with it. They can't make anything happen until the season is over. But as soon as it's over, wasn't there a Lincoln Riley thing like that?
Riley was as well kept of a secret as anyone. You know, I live two doors away from Bruce Feldman, who is the preeminent college football reporter in the country. And Bruce had heard rumors, but he didn't even have.
Didn't Lincoln Riley basically say at one of his last games, like, "I'm not going anywhere"? I mean, there's.
Yeah. I wouldn't trust Lane as far as I could throw him. I mean, Lane's been that guy. I mean, remember he left Tennessee after 1 year to go back to USC, and you know, Lane will lie to save his. And so that's
he
what
has
I think
to. I mean, there's recruiting issues involved. There's you got to finish the season. They still have games to play. There's no, a lot of times this stuff is like out there and it might happen, but until it really happens, it kind of depends on what you have to lose by reporting it. So for me, I won't go with it until I'm really sure. And until I have really solid sourcing that it's unimpeccable, because you can't survive being wrong on something that big.
Right. Remember when Nick Saban went to Alabama, just 3 days before that, he came out and said, "I am not going to Alabama." Mm-hmm. I mean, these coaches lie for a living. Mm-hmm. If I had to bet whether or not Lane Kiffin's going to be the next coach at Auburn and I have to pick either A or B, I'm taking A. I think he's going. Despite this tweet, that's news to me, nice sources.
Yeah.
I think the Egg Bowl, Mississippi State, Mississippi, is on Thursday, is on Thanksgiving Day. I think it probably gets announced right after that. Hmm. I think Lane Kiffin's going to Auburn. But
Tweeted this. Lane just tweeted. This just in, breaking news. John Sokoloff of WCBI News in Starkville, Mississippi, plans to step down as lead anchor and head to WLOX to become new lead anchor. Sources say WLOX hasn't offered the job to anyone yet.
He's just
trolling with him.
Yeah. So maybe he's not going.
I mean, it is funny that he's like, they haven't offered the job yet, but he's going.
Well, that is interesting. All right, we'll wait and see what happens.
Hey, John, the big story in the NBA tonight, Ben Simmons' return to Philadelphia, where he's actually going to play. Jacques Vaughn, the new head coach of the Nets, says, what do you expect the reception he's going to get in Philly tonight? And he said, this is a pretty good quote. This is a Vince Vaughn earmuffs night tonight, right?
Yeah. He is going to get the crap booed out of him. Oof. Philadelphia fans are the most vocal, mean, no BS fans in the history of the world. He's going to get booed. How do you think he'll play?
I think he's going to be okay. Like he was really. I had a story out on him today because he came through LA a little bit with the Nets like 2 weekends ago. Right, they played the Lakers and the Clippers. He didn't play against the Lakers, and he was very okay against the Clippers. And then he'd been pretty good the last three games. He went like 11, 15, and 22. The last game he was starting, he was playing pretty good. He's playing at center, which is an interesting move for them, right? It's interesting to have him at center. He is, to me, you know, when you have something like the yips, where he got that with free throws, it never really goes away. It's always in the background. You just manage it better, you know, or worse sometimes. And so you never know what the trigger is going to be to where you fall off again. He got through a couple of free throws. When he played up in Portland, they started fouling him at the end of the game, which is how this whole thing started. And he hit 3 of 4. And I was like, okay. Like, he made 3 of the 4 free throws. It's hard. So I don't know. This Philly game is at some point you got to play Philly. At some point, you got to take the booze. You got to get out there and play somehow. If he gets through it, that's going to be really good for his confidence. If he doesn't, I don't know. See what happens.
Brooklyn
next.
Could win that game. No Embiid, right?
Yeah, no. They have no Harden, no Embiid, no Tyrese Maxey's out with a foot injury. So it was actually setting up to be a really good game. Ben Simmons was going to start at center, and if Embiid didn't get hurt, he would have been lined up against Embiid at center. Pretty good.
All right, coming up next, we will we'll get into the story, if you missed it earlier, about the guy running on the field at the Rose Bowl and what happens now. He was absolutely crushed. If you haven't seen it, I put it out on Twitter at LA Ireland. If you want to see the guy get clocked at the Rose Bowl for running on the field, could he sue the security guard for assault? We'll get into that. Also, Paul George is hurt again. We'll give you the latest on that. And you guys yesterday talked about that Peter Burns story with Ben Watson. There's been a new development. We'll share that with you coming up. Still to come, Game of Games later this hour. It's my game today. Ramona's in for Mace. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. All right, Game of Games coming up for you in about 10 minutes. And Ramona,
Jacob's here. I see him.
Oh, good. Okay, so tell him to come in studio, and then we'll get to his story in a second. But yesterday, Momo, you guys talked about Ben Watson and Peter Burns, who work at the SEC Network, were on set at a halftime show, and they got into a dispute over something Burns said about Ben Watson. They were talking about suits, and here's that exchange that happened on Saturday.
45-20. By the way, did you not get the memo on the suits? We all went dark today. You're like Easter service.
Y'all kind of leave me out. As long as I get the text from my wife that says I look good.
Oh, really?
Send me the text, babe. Send me the text. That's
not the one she sent me.
Outdoors. Commercial break. Live TV.
15-6.
Live TV.
Keep my man on the covers.
Welcome all right, so that,
Rich halftime report.
That was the whole exchange, and when they came back from a break, those two guys were gone. Apparently, Watson was so upset that Burns said his wife sent him a text that they got in a fight. And this morning, Burns sent this out on Twitter. Quote, "While it was a joke, the truth is I crossed a line. You should never joke about family, so I owe a public apology to Ben and Kirsten 100%. Ben couldn't have been handled it better with humor in class. We're all good and proud to call him a friend and coworker. Watson accepted the apology afterwards. He wrote, apology accepted. We're moving on. See you Saturday. We've got some big games to discuss. Ramona, I can't believe this was a thing. Literally, can you imagine if we're talking about what you're wearing on the air and you say, well, as long as Nevin likes it, that's all that matters to me. And I say, well, Nevin texted me. He doesn't like it.
Okay, it's different.
Why?
Tell you why it's different. It's guy to guy.
Okay.
Different if it's guy to girl.
Why?
Like, because he's insinuating something with that. Oh, you're what?
That they have a secret relationship?
Yeah.
People actually believe that?
No, but it's even the insinuation is disrespectful.
Really?
It's like a yo mama joke. Like, it's just not.
It's not even a yo mama joke.
Out your mouth
it's worse. It's worse than a yo mama joke.
there's a sort of insinuation that there was some extracurricular stuff going on. Like, why does she have her cell? Why does she have your cell? Why were you talking last night? Like, there's an insinuation of that.
Really?
Though. Yeah.
You guys both feel that way.
Yeah, you make that joke in person. You don't make that over the air. First of all,
I also would not flip out like that. I would just recognize that he's making a bad joke.
It was disrespectful to his wife.
It was. Yeah. Yep.
He's
not talking about clothing, John. Peter Burns was not making a joke about clothing.
So let's make the right comparison. You're doing a segment with Sedano, all right?
Okay.
Okay, another married guy.
Yep.
And he says
By the way, his wife Kelly is awesome.
Yeah, Kelly's awesome. Yeah. I like his wife too. Like we're friends off the air too. And something about Sedano's outfit comes up, and then you say something like that. Well, that's not what Kelly was saying to me last night.
George would never flip out over that.
I don't think he would flip out because you guys all know each other. But the insinuation of
I've met Kelly like twice ever, but she's super cool. There's no way George flips out over that.
What if he said that about Lisa?
No way I flip out. Because I know, and he knows that they have no relationship.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Sedano said something once that makes sense. He said, there's beef and there's radio beef.
This
was not beef. I mean, but apparently in Ben Watson's mind, it was. And so
they
Peter Burns
don't
had
know
to write
each other
this
very
apology.
Well.
I just, wow. It's just that everybody is so freaking sensitive.
It really depends on your relationship. Like, because we all know each other, you know, you can't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I guess. There's no way either me or Sedano flips out over that. It eludes me that Ben Watson did, but it sounds like they made up and everything's good. All right. So do we have Jacob?
Yes.
Okay. So I texted Jacob today. I sent him the video for a little reset here. If you're just joining us, I sent this out on Twitter. Go to Twitter at LA Ireland. Here's the situation. On Saturday at the Rose Bowl, a fan ran out of the stands onto the field and he's running along the sidelines. And a security guard in one of those yellow security jackets makes a beeline for this fan and just lays him out like a defensive back, like a free safety laying out a wide receiver over the middle. Just flattens this dude.
Destroys him.
Right. And so Jacob, who you all know, our buddy Jacob Imrani, who is an attorney who joins us every Tuesday for Game of Games, I asked Jacob to come in a few minutes early because, Jacob, I wanted to ask you this question. If he called you, the guy that ran onto the field, and said, hey, I want to sue this security guard for assault. I've got it on tape. He hit me really hard. I've got a couple of busted ribs. Does that guy who ran on the field have a case, or does he give up his rights as soon as he trespasses? What would you tell him if he came to you?
So I got to tell you, John, I don't think he gives up his rights. I mean, you know, he was definitely on the field where he wasn't supposed to be. But he was not an imminent danger to anybody. And basically, this guy just basically decked him. I mean, that guy needs to get a scholarship to somewhere because that guy just came out of nowhere and flattened him. And then if you continue to watch the video, so did the guy after him, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you really
There were two security guards chasing him.
Exactly. And then after that, there was four people. So in all reality, obviously, I'm a Trojan. It happened, you know, at the Rose Bowl. So if the guy's calling me, I'm like, this happened at the UCLA field. I'm taking your case anyways. But really, in the big picture, when you look at it, I do believe it's excessive. It's just excessive based on what happened. Yes, here's a fan. He's a young guy. He's on the field. You know, he's being an idiot, you know. But really, in the big picture, to deck him like that where he's not around anybody, there's no imminent danger, I do believe it was too much.
How do you assess whether or not he's in imminent danger, though? Like, right now, he looks like an idiot running on the field just having a joyride. But, like, how do we know he doesn't have a knife in his pocket or a gun or something like that?
It's a great point. Great
like,
point.
Like, couldn't that be what the cop says? Well, I didn't know he wasn't in imminent danger.
100%. You're right. But when they look at the totality of everything, the guy didn't just jump off. He's running. He's laughing. You know, he's just, you know, it's a college game. And I agree with you because we need to protect the athletes, right? But in this particular situation, the reality was that I just think this was too much. And there is a slippery slope.
Jacob, I got a question.
Sure.
If I'm the attorney up against you, you're representing the guy who ran on the field. I'm representing the Rose Bowl. Could I not make the point in court that Monica Seles was just sitting in a chair in between points of a tennis match. A guy very nonchalantly came out of the stands and stabbed her. And he didn't look like he was
doing anything
dangerous or anything. He wasn't wielding a knife. He didn't look like a crazy fan. He pulled a knife out of his pocket and stuck it in her side. Ever since then, I've felt like you have to do what you have to do to protect the combatants, to protect the players on the field. And I didn't know if this guy was trying to go put a knife into Lincoln Riley's side. I mean, I don't know what his intentions are. So that's why I tell my guys, do what you have to do to take him out. And that's what my guy did. Why isn't that allowed?
First of all, as we've been talking, that's the only thing I'm thinking about, the Monica Seles situation, right? So I'm 100% thinking about that. Couple of things. Number one, understand that at the end of the day, you're absolutely correct, and that's what we were talking about. We don't know what his intentions were. But in the big picture, when you look at what occurs, that even if he was 70% at fault, I can always get 30%. And I don't mean that that security guard did something wrong. Let's make this very clear, because I'm going to get a bunch of text messages. I'm going to get a bunch of messages coming to me telling me, what are you talking about? You know, this is what attorneys do. That's not the point. The point becomes is we're talking in life as a whole about things that become excessive. And ultimately, at the end of the day, this guy, you got to look at the surroundings of what was going on. There was four security guards that were within the vicinity. Could they have stopped him? Yes. Did they have to deck him? I don't know how badly he's injured. If he's badly injured, he's going to have a personal injury case. Is he going to be partially at fault? Absolutely. Is he going to get paid? Absolutely. And I think that's kind of where, I believe.
That is the thing about how they divide up blame percent by percentage, right?
For sure.
Like your blame pie, John, that's an actual legal thing.
Yes, it is.
They say this was 60% your fault and 40% our fault. So here's, you get $2 million, which means you get 40% of that. Something
exactly.
Like that, right?
And you said that correct. And sometimes based on the injuries that if he, you know, if he has a broken hip, if this guy has a broken shoulder and his case may be worth $500,000, go ahead and reduce 60% from it. Now, that I'm talking to you in terms of legal sort of analysis. Now, if I'm over there and I'm standing on the sideline and someone's running at me, do I want somebody to completely take them out so they don't get to me? Absolutely. But we are living in a world where these are all very real stuff. And no matter even if he's 100% at fault, there will be a lawsuit and there will be a settlement.
Boy, the reaction to this, guys, is stunning. I'm getting more tweets than I can read. People are very divided. And Jacob, one of the points they made is the one you just made, that it is a matter of how much is acceptable and necessary force. In other words, if the guy would have taken a crowbar and caved in the guy's skull, we would all agree that was excessive. And we would say that guy deserves some type of payment. He didn't have a crowbar, but he hit him pretty hard. He hit him as hard as you can hit somebody with a running
start. And I want to add one more thing, John, if I may. Let's just put it into football terminology, right? We're watching this game where the point is to hit each other, right? And you've got targeting. And they're saying, hey, if you're targeting, you're getting ejected from the game because that was just excessive, right? You didn't need to target. You didn't need to try to hurt somebody. When you look at what happened here, again, when I looked at it, I'm like, damn, this guy can tackle. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it could be considered excessive.
All right. Coming up is Game of Games. Thank you, Jacob, for that. And you'll get a lot of reaction because I'm already getting it. And coming up next, Jacob is on a winning streak. I think you've won the last two times you've played.
Yes.
Pepe Mantilla has come in and won a couple of games, too. So you guys are doing well. It's my game. It is Thanksgiving-themed. And we'll share it with you next. But first, let me tell you about ZipRecruiter. When it comes to hiring for your business, there's one solution that's been advancing technology for years, and that's ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. I'm friends with the guy who created ZipRecruiter. It's a guy named Ian Siegel. Great dude. And Ian has one sentence that sums this up. The reason ZipRecruiter works is they don't leave anything to chance. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology identifies people with the right skills and experience and invites them to apply for your job. It's a great formula. 83% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within one day. And so if you want to step up your hiring game, give ZipRecruiter a shot. And right now, you got to do it because it's free. at ZipRecruiter.com/LA. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LA. What are you waiting for? Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LA. Game of Games coming up next, ESPN LA. All right, no Mace today, but I've got the game, and as you heard, it's sponsored by Jacob and Ronnie, who is always nice enough to come in here and actually play with us on Tuesdays. Jacob's won a couple of times in a row. He'll be playing today with Jorge, Ramona, and Greg, four players total, and since this is my last show before Thanksgiving, I have a Thanksgiving-themed game of games. This is multiple choice, just like you like, Jacob, so everybody has a shot.
Thank you, John.
Here we go.
It's also worth two, John. This is worth two.
Big one, Jacob. Oh. You could actually win a month.
Ooh.
Okay, so question one. The first Thanksgiving was celebrated in 1621 over a three-day harvest festival. It included 50 pilgrims, 90 Indians, and lasted 3 days. How many women were at the first Thanksgiving celebration? Was it A, 0, B, 5, or C, 25? Jorge, 0, 5, or 25?
I'll go 5.
All right, Greg.
God, just thinking about the time. 0?
1621, Greg.
Yeah, 0.
Okay. Momo.
25.
Jacob.
I will take the middle. I will go with 5 as well.
Jacob and Jorge get the point. It was 5 women.
Yeah.
You know, big of them. They had 140 people there, and they invited 5 women. Nice of them. Well, all right, question
the cookie,
2.
Right?
No kidding.
The 5.
I mean.
Yeah, the 5 women. They're ridiculous. All right.
Come on.
Abraham Lincoln proclaimed Thanksgiving a national holiday on October 3rd, 1863.
Okay.
Sarah Hale convinced Lincoln to make Thanksgiving a national holiday after writing letters for 17 years. What else is Sarah Hale famous for? A, she was the woman who wrote the poem Mary Had a Little Lamb. B, she was the social queen of Washington society and knew everybody in D.C. Or C, she was the great-grandmother of actor Alan Hale, who is most famous for playing the skipper on Gilligan's Island. Greg, A, B, or C, did she write Mary Had a Little Lamb, Social Queen of Washington Society, or Great-Grandmother of the Skipper?
I don't know how you'd come up with Mary Had a Little Lamb randomly, so let's go with that one.
Okay, A. Momo.
Social Butterfly.
Jacob.
You know, Mary Had a Little Lamb is something that I've been singing to my kids for a long time, so I'm going for that.
All right, Jorge.
And whatever B is, B.
Social Queen of Washington Society. You should have gone A, Jorge. Jacob gets the point along with Greg. She actually was the woman who wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb. So that's two pretty good legacies, that and you created Thanksgiving. All right, next one. Jacob's ahead, 2-1. Greg has one. Jorge has one. Momo, what are you doing?
I don't know.
All right. You get to go first here.
I don't know. You never know.
Who was the first U.S. president to pardon a turkey at Thanksgiving? Was it A, Harry Truman, B, John F. Kennedy, or C, Richard Nixon? Momo, Truman, Kennedy, or Nixon?
Truman.
Jacob.
I will go Truman as well.
Jorge.
Truman.
Greg.
With the crowd.
You should have gone JFK. That's the
really?
Correct answer. Yeah.
That
Truman,
late, huh?
Okay, how about this? Truman, this is how wrong you all were, was given a turkey at Thanksgiving, which he promptly cooked and ate for dinner. all right. Jacob's still with the lead.
They didn't do photo ops back then, I guess. Okay.
Next question. Day after Thanksgiving is the busiest day of the year for what specific occupation? A, urgent care workers. B, dry cleaners. Or C, plumbers. Jacob, urgent care workers, dry cleaners, or plumbers?
I am going plumbers.
Jorge.
I'm going with A.
Urgent care workers. Yeah. Greg.
I think it's the plumbers, too.
Momo.
This is gross.
She's going to go against us.
I'm going to say urgent care workers.
Or
yeah,
I
dropped a deuce.
Yeah.
Hey.
Momo, you should have gone plumbers. That was the right answer. It is the busiest day of the
really?
Year.
Really? That's so
which means
so
Jacob
bad.
3, Greg 2, Jorge 1, and Momo is pulling
get
a Curtis
scratch.
So
yeah.
far. Yeah. All right. Next one. Roughly how many phone calls are answered each November at the Butterball Hotline, which is a free hotline service Butterball provides to anyone with questions about how to cook a turkey?
Oh, wow.
Is it A, over 10,000 calls, B, over 100,000 calls, or C, over 500,000 calls? Jorge, 10,000, 100,000, or 500,000?
I'll go with the middle and tell me the number.
100,000. Greg.
The number to call.
There's a lot of people that don't know how to cook a turkey. 500,000.
Momo.
10,000.
Jacob.
I'll go 10,000 as well.
The answer, 100,000. Wow. Swag System gets it.
Wow.
Well, at this point, I fall behind and I have to pick the other thing.
Yes.
Yep. All right, so Momo,
this is how you dig the hole. Okay.
And there are only three questions left, so I'll let you go last, Ramona. Okay. What is unique about female turkeys?
Oh.
A, they don't gobble. B, female turkeys are completely monogamous. Or C, female turkeys have red feathers. Jacob, they don't gobble, they're monogamous, or they have red feathers. What's unique about a female turkey?
I will go with the red feathers.
Okay. Jorge?
They don't gobble.
Greg?
Completely monogamous.
Momo?
They don't gobble.
They don't gobble is the correct answer. Only male turkeys gobble, which means Momo's back in it.
Hey.
Jorge, 3. Jacob, 3. Greg, 2. Momo, 1. According to estimates by AAA, over 55 million Americans traveled 50 miles or more for Thanksgiving in 2019. Where was the most popular travel destination that year? A, Orlando. B, New York City. Or C, Honolulu. Jacob, Orlando, New York City, or Honolulu?
I would say Orlando.
Okay. Jorge?
Honolulu.
Greg?
I want to try and get a point. So New York City.
Momo?
Orlando.
The answer is Orlando, and Jacob takes the lead. And this means
easiest to get to
Momo and I are out.
Momo and Greg are out. Yep. It's a two-person race between Jorge and
again.
Jacob.
Come on, Jorge. Let's do this
here
again.
We go.
This is worth two.
What NFL quarterback has the most career passing yards on Thanksgiving Day? Is it A, Troy Aikman, B, Tony Romo, or C, Matthew Stafford? Aikman, Romo, or Stafford, Jacob?
You know, I'm going to go with Stafford.
Jorge.
I'm going Aikman.
The correct answer. Matthew Stafford and Jacob and Ronnie has done it again.
Because he throws a lot of yards. They just don't win.
Right.
I remember.
And he played in a ton of games.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's either a Cowboy or a Lion.
That's right.
All right. Jacob, thank you for pulling double duty today, my friend. Congratulations. And most of all, have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Much. This was awesome.
All right. Let's play the Super Stager.
Woo!
All right, time for Super Crosstalk. I actually have to cut out early today, but I wanted to ask George Sinano something before I go.
Yep.
Sinano, did you hear the discussion about what happened between Peter Burns and Ben Watson?
I saw the video, yeah.
Okay, so if I were to say to you on the air, we were talking about clothes that you and I wore to some TV event.
Right.
And you wore a light suit and I wore a dark suit. And I said, hey, Sinano, you're the only one who wore a light suit today. And you say to me, yeah, well, as long as Kelly says it's cool, I'm good with it. And I say, well, that's not what she told me. Are we at odds? Do you have an issue with that?
You and I have known each other long enough to be able to laugh that off. I don't know what their relationship is outside of work.
Yeah. Very odd to me that that caused a rift. But it did, and he apologized for it today publicly, and I guess they've made up, and they're coming back. I just can't imagine. I mean, we know each other. We know each other's wives. Not well, but well enough where you know I would never intentionally insult Kelly or you.
Yeah. But again, their relationship may not be what yours and mine is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, true.
He may have just overreached on that relationship.
Apparently.
I'm not trying to get Benjamin Watson, who was an NFL tight end for a decade, mad either, though. That's the other part.
Good point. Hey, and before I go, what did you think of the other thing about, did you see the video of the fan that got tackled at the Rose Bowl?
I did not see that video.
Okay, so go at some point today, go to my Twitter and look at the last tweet I did. Okay. Basically, the story was, guy runs out on the field, probably a challenge drunk, and a security guard, one of the Yellow Jackets, gets a running start from about 20 yards away and lays
out
like a free safety. Okay. So my question is, does the guy who ran on the field have a case for assault?
No.
Or does he give up his rights the minute he trespasses?
100% you give up your right the minute you trespass and you go on. It literally says it on the back of your ticket.
Right. And I think everybody knows that once you violate that, Tim Harris, my boss at the Lakers, has a good way of saying this. He goes, think of it as a pool. If you're a participant, you stay in the pool and you don't get out. If you're a fan, you stay out of the pool and you don't get in.
Right.
I think that that's probably an easy way to explain it. But boy, Jacob was just here, and he says the guy hit him so hard he could probably get some money out of it.
You know what's interesting, John, that you see that in football games a ton, right? You know, and maybe when we were kids, there was that, what was the kissing bandit, Morgana, I guess, or whatever her name was, at on baseball. You don't really see that in basketball very much because, for the most part, I feel like the arena security is, first of all, it's a lot smaller.
Right.
And it just feels a lot tighter. And I'm glad that that's the case. But it is interesting that you don't see that at basketball games.
But didn't we have that person, that woman who tried to like super glue herself down to the floor?
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That's kind
yeah,
of the one incident, the one in Minnesota, because they were protesting the owner there. But
chicken
ranch
or something.
It.
What was it? Yeah. The chicken farm?
The chicken farm that he owns or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
The protests don't work on the masses.
Yeah, this is something you can appreciate. They just changed my bus time. I have to be on a 4:15 bus. So do me a favor and take over the Super Crosstalk. And you guys all have a great Thanksgiving.
Guess what?
Wait, tell
Super
me you have to go now, too.
Super Crosstalk is about to get a whole lot stupider.
Yeah, good. There's no question about that.
All right, take it away, folks. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
See you too, pal.
Later, John Ireland. So didn't the Rams also have a thing this year where, I'm trying to remember, was it Bobby Wagner? And who was the other linebacker that had just signed with the Rams that week? And they took down a fan.
It was during like a primetime game.
So
yeah.
I'm kind of a zero tolerance person for stuff like this. Like, if this guy probably had no ulterior motive, he's not going to do anything. He's just being a guy, got a dare, and ooh, this is fun. But I normally don't think if you let one guy do it, then everyone's going to do it. But in this case, if you let one guy do it, then everyone's going to do it. You got to arrest him. You got to take him out. Like, otherwise, everybody in this era of like going viral and TikTok and Instagram, doesn't this feel like what everyone will do now?
Lindsay just texted in our group chat that's the guy Cappy went all Rome on.
Yeah, but I can't remember his name.
Tackled him.
Yeah, but I can't remember his name.
I don't remember his name. You were going off on him for 2 minutes.
Yeah, but his
is Laura there? Because Laura can probably find that rant. Because I want Ramona and Jorge and
Tack McKinley. It's Tack
McKinley.
Yeah, there was this. There was this
check yourself, Tack McKinley.
Yeah, totally check yourself, bro. But it wasn't really about the checking yourself. Wasn't about.
It was about something else. No, it was about him arguing with his teammate.
He got into a big argument on the sideline with his teammate, and I was like, bro, you just got here this week.
Yeah.
So what strategically could you be arguing with one of your teammates about on the sideline that would get into that kind of a thing? And then I told him, George, straight up for real, you need to check yourself, bro.
Check yourself, bro.
That's right.
So I'm not a big ranter, George. I don't know if I don't really get that worked up about too many things that I can rant.
No, you don't rant?
Last night at about 11:30, I realized that I went on a rant yesterday on the show, Greg. Do you remember this?
I do remember this.
And I was like, did I really go
crosstalk?
Tell me. Tell me what kind of rant.
Starbucks for being out of the peppermint mochas?
Oh. You did. Oh, I heard this.
I went
you
in
did.
On this for a while.
You were really passionate about such a thing.
Like, what? Did I just go full Karen? Was that like a straight up Karen moment right there?
I mean, it might have been.
Wow.
I mean, wow. I had this like, what do you think, Greg? Was I full Karen right there? I mean, I was trying to make a point about the T-Swift tickets and the Ticketmaster but it was coming from a place of me being annoyed every time I order the Starbucks at any Starbucks in Los Angeles right now. You cannot get the peppermint syrup.
And why is this?
It's got to be
supply chain issues. Yeah, is that the deal?
That's what everybody says now. Oh man, nothing works.
Can't get one of those hot dog candy canes to swirl it around in there.
No, you know, I tried something.
Yeah, which
I added some Irish cream syrup to this today to make it taste a little like the peppermint mocha.
Yeah.
What is
the base drink?
It's just an iced mocha.
Oh, iced mocha.
I wanted the peppermint mocha, and this is like what you guys advertise every year as a seasonal flavor.
And now it's not
and
here.
You just can't keep it in stock. Like somebody was just unprepared.
Is there any leftover pumpkin?
Do this.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Just say this. Check yourself, Starbucks.
No, check yourself, bro. No, check yourself, bro. And then, George, now you know that I like this one now. Add this, Ramon, at the end. Check yourself, bro. Do better, Starbucks.
Do better. Oh, I like that one, too.
Do better, Starbucks.
Yeah.
So I like am picturing, I'm like, first of all, I just went, that was a very first world problems rant that I had.
Okay.
Like, where's the peppermint mochas? Yeah. Like, what? That was like a real thing for me.
Yeah.
Wrong. So it's more of a check yourself, Momo. Like, get over your privilege,
okay.
Right?
Check
like,
yourself,
get over,
sister.
Yeah. But also,
do better, Momo.
But do better. But also, like, now, then it got me thinking, mm-hmm. Can you just imagine the emails going around Starbucks headquarters?
Oh, yeah.
Like the regional headquarters, like, come on, we got to get the peppermint syrup.
Right. We're losing money by the day.
Did you hear this lady on LA radio? She's calling attention to this. Right. Our customers are going to go to Coffee Bean.
They probably are like, did you hear that Karen on Seriously. ESPN? I don't know what that lady's name is, yeah. But we just call her Karen around here.
What do you think, Laura?
Look, listen, I've been saying I'm going to give up Starbucks. I just mobile ordered something. Like,
I know,
you did just now?
Me too.
I mean, not like right now. I forgot to pick it up. And I'm like, oh, I should have probably picked it up
too.
Like 15, 20 minutes ago.
I literally walked into the Starbucks downstairs here at LA Alive today. I was going to get a little something.
Yeah.
Just a little
something.
A little vanilla latte to spark me up for the afternoon, right?
It's a long drive, yeah.
So I walk in. There's a little bit of a line.
Uh-huh.
I decide to walk out.
Mobile order all the way.
And so I think to myself, upstairs here in the radio station, we got this really, really fancy coffee machine that I never use.
Yeah.
So I walk back towards the kitchen and I see Stephanie, who kind of runs this operation now, right? And she says, I say, hey, how you doing? I'm about to get some coffee. Need anything? She's like,
wrong.
Oh, no. They took the coffee machine out today.
Today.
Mm-hmm.
Boo.
Right. And so here I was. I'd already come up. I'm not going to go back downstairs. I'm not going to wait in line. Mobile order. I don't mobile order.
You want something
what
I can
mean,
mobile,
you
know,
mobile
order,
order.
You know
why
what?
Why wouldn't you mobile order? Why do you go there and wait?
I still vote in person, George.
Mobile orderer for a long time, Cap. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
For a long time, I was like, no, I just can't get into the mobile order thing. And now, like, what was I doing?
It's the only thing I do, and I never go to
Starbucks.
It's the
only thing I do now.
Wait, so let me just understand the mobile order. Because I do the call ahead.
No, you can't do call ahead here.
Mobile order is like, listen, let me show you my app.
Okay. I know, I was like opening my app, too.
All right, okay, we're going to go to the Starbucks app.
Yeah. Okay.
And we have everything here. We have my computer is hooked up. My card is hooked up to it. You got the menu. You got the points.
Okay.
So like today I got it basically for free.
It's not.
And then you order it and it'll be like, thanks, Ramona. Your order will be ready in 7 minutes. Now, sometimes it's not ready in seven minutes.
No. It's like 37
minutes
sometimes.
Oh, really?
So what I usually do is I usually order the same things over and over so that when I'm driving in, I can do it without having to like modify things and it's unsafe while I'm driving. I can just go click, click, previous order, click, okay, done.
Yep.
Because it's not unsafe.
So like
the way 20
minutes, like when I'm at a stoplight or something.
Oh,
like that.
Okay, gotcha.
20 minutes out, I usually put the order in.
Okay. Yep.
Okay.
So that when I walk in there, it's ready. It's just sitting out there waiting for me so I can get here 5 minutes before the show or whatever it is, walk up to the Starbucks, grab my order, and go up to the radio station and be like, hey, what's up, everybody? And I usually send a text beforehand and say, does anybody else want anything?
You do.
Ordering?
Yeah, that's very sweet of you.
If
very
I'm doing
nice.
Our show.
Yeah.
So like, now I can't go back. Like the idea of ever waiting in the line again is a non-starter.
Oh, man. I am. I got to get on this thing. Because I don't really go to Starbucks.
Oh, well, still, you know, most people
we don't
do it
go
that
there
way.
Because it's good. We go there because it's here.
Oh.
Convenience.
Go there because it's here.
Convenience.
Right. Got it. I know, I've got this thing like stuck in my head. What's the guy's name on Shark Tank, Mr. Wonderful? What's that guy's name?
I don't know. Watch that show.
Do you know
Kevin
what I'm talking
O'Leary.
About? Kevin O'Leary.
Yeah, the bald guy.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about though, at least?
Kinda.
Yeah, all
maybe.
Right. He has
show
this,
me a picture.
I once heard him say this. He's like $4.50 for a cup of coffee.
It's stupid.
He's like, why would I ever do that? He said, you can make a cup of coffee at your house that's just as good for like 25 cents, 30 cents. And I was like, yeah.
It's true.
Why do I do that? And I was doing like $4.50 a day, five times a week. And when I started to really add it all up, I did this exercise for you, Laura. This is how I pretty much got you off of Starbucks for a while.
For like a week.
I started to do the math for her. She spends like $2,500 a year at Starbucks.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Oh, that's a lot.
Momo, if we make like...
That is a lot when you add it up.
Well, a cup of coffee a day is basically like $1,600, $1,700.
It's
a
year.
A lot.
If you do 365
days. And we're all complaining about like monthly subscriptions to Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh man, the price is going up.
I'm convinced that Starbucks puts something in the coffee to like make it more addictive.
It's not that it's good. It's not fine. Good. It's like
what I'm saying.
Like I do the iced coffee at home too. I'll make my own iced coffee at home. But I also like sometimes when I get down here before the show, you know, it's like midday is perfect time for a nap. Like I just want a little sugar and a little pick me up. Yeah. Like that's and it's like chocolatey and wonderful and it's got oat milk and I don't like when I just make like the coffee at home, it's not as like yummy.
Fancy.
Yeah, fancy.
It's
and
not made with as much love, is what you're saying.
That's right, and it's also here, and it comes I mean, in a and it comes in a nice cup, and I don't have to like find a mug at home and wash it and bring it and you know throw it away afterward. You know, it's convenient.
You know, you can buy those coffee cups that like Starbucks and all these companies use. You can just buy them in bulk on like Amazon.
I know,
you
know but they, then I'd have to. What am I gonna keep it in my car?
No, you throw it out. They're disposable.
Yeah, oh, really? Keep a whole stack of them in my car for when I get down here.
It's
I actually
no different than
bunch.
Having like paper plates at home.
Yeah,
you know?
I bought a bunch
of these things you're saying make sense to me, and yet I'm still going to do it.
See, and I learned today that I'm going to have to get the app because not only do I feel dumb about going
in and
ordering,
are you serious?
You don't
never
have
used
the app?
Not one time ever. I don't
what
even have
hell?
It.
Unless you do it, you will never not do it.
I don't have it.
Again, you're talking to someone who barely drinks coffee, and I have the app.
I don't have it. And what bothers me about it now. Is that there's a reward system.
Yes,
there's a point
there
system,
is.
You know?
Exactly.
So, like, if I go to Jersey Mike's, I have to put my phone number in.
I know.
Because I'm eventually getting
out.
A free sandwich.
Today, I had a free coffee today because it was all my stars built up.
Nice.
All my rewards. Look, I'm
right,
convinced that all of these apps...
Every $500,
all of these things,
you get a free cup
exactly.
of coffee.
All of these things are about... When you have money and real cash in your wallet, and then you have no cash in your wallet, you are aware that you have spent it. When you have it on the app and you're distance from the actual money and the actual cash and like maybe you'll check your credit card statement a couple weeks later, you just forget that you spend it. It's like it's not real to you.
Do you have your credit card set up so that as soon as you swipe it, it hits your phone and you go, you just spent $43.23. Do you have that?
Not on everything.
Do you guys do that?
No, I have it on expenses over a certain amount.
Yeah, so like my Amex card, any swipe right away tells me what
that's
I spent.
That's good. You should always be aware of when you're spending money because when you're not aware of it, you just spend more.
Yeah.
That's true. I don't care. I'm like, oh, I spent that? Okay.
I got to get this Starbucks app. Yesterday, I got a new app. What was the app we got yesterday? What was the name of that one?
Hive.
Hive.
What's
I got
that?
Hive
is the new Twitter, Momo. Get on the Hive. Get in the Hive.
Hive. We don't know if it's the new Twitter. We just know that it's
first
an alternative.
Of all, Twitter's not going anywhere, guys. I
well,
know everybody was
like
RIP
better,
Twitter, and it's, if this is my last post, let's make it great. You know,
but
like,
here's the thing, Momo. You can be the NBA person on Hive. You beat everybody else there.
Sign up and get your name while it's still available.
Yeah
I got
no
my
underscores.
Name.
I don't know. It doesn't
at,
work
got
that way.
Sedano
like
in Hive.
All right, maybe I'll sign up for it just for you guys, but like nobody's like Twitter's not gonna go away.
Nope.
It's just gonna get a little weird.
A little.
I mean, it's already gotten
it's
a little.
It's already kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know.
It's gotten weirder. Yeah.
Where are you going now, Ramona?
Home.
Oh, really?
Why?
I don't. Because you have kind of a look like you may don't, maybe you don't want
to
leave.
No,
like, you have the kind of look
she's
like you're like, you know
like
what?
4 hours.
I'm good to stay. Like, I'm good to hang around.
You know, like, the truth is, I've had a long day. It's nice to see you. You never get to see me in person.
Yeah.
I never get to see you in person. It is nice to see you. You could probably talk me into staying for like 5 more minutes or
really?
No,
chatting during the break. But then I got to go.
Yeah, I know.
Because I got little babies at home and they're cuter
than
you.
Right?
So cute,
baby. They are cuter than you. No offense.
No, none taken. They are cute. I saw the pictures earlier.
I know. I have a very, like, he's like a smiley baby.
I squeeze that baby.
Yeah.
I want to hold that baby, hug that baby, and squeeze that baby.
I came home today in between my PT in the morning and leaving for the radio show just to like snuggle him for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Boom. I was like, I could have gone straight to the radio station and hung out. And I was like, no, I want to snuggle him for like 15 more minutes.
That cheeks, you know,
he's
his legs, probably his feet.
And stuff
probably
and
want
like,
to grab his feet.
Anything. I mean, who else can you like give like little, you know, you like do their tummy and you go like that on their tummy. And they laugh and he thinks it's so cool. And he just wants to pull my hair all the time right now. Like,
wow.
I can't just go up to somebody and do that on their tummy, except for like my own kid.
Yeah.
No.
And Daniel doesn't really think that's fun anymore.
What happens if I want to do that to your little baby? Like, is that weird? But like,
if you ask me first, it might be okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Always got to ask.
You got to ask first. Can't just dive in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I don't get to hold babies that much anymore.
You can't do that to a stranger. At least Ramona, you know her.
Yeah, we know each other. You could like snuggle him, but you'd have to be like, hey, you know, I'm just gonna do my thing with the baby. All right, that's cool.
Yeah,
grab his little butt, his feet, his legs. You know, his arms,
could
his
eat
hands.
His toes.
Yeah,
yeah,
I like, totally, I would totally eat his toes.
Yeah, the, he loves when you do the like when you do the thing on his tummy. The yeah, and he's like, like he loves that.
See, yeah. Mateo still digs that. Not yeah? as much anymore, but I got to get him like by surprise.
Yeah. 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 Hey, you watching this Ben Simmons game, George?
I am going to turn it on right now, actually. Is it on?
Apparently, no one cares.
Yeah, I'm not watching.
I'm following the tweets. He went up into the stands and was like signing autographs in the stands and taking selfies with fans. And like they didn't really even boo him. It was just whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but during the game, they will.
Yeah, oh, they'll definitely boo him during the game. Yeah. It'll be fun.
Yeah. I want to watch just for that because I want to see what the Philly situation is there.
Hey, guess what? Coors Light is brought to, Super Crosstalk is brought to you by Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. That sounds good.
Coors Light sounds great right now,
does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah,
refreshing,
it does.
Cold.
Straight when I get home, though.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, but not on the drive home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got a lot
of on the other side, we will tell you where USC landed in the college football playoff rankings. All right.
Sounds good. All right. John Ireland is off. I'm in with Clinton Gates tomorrow, I think. Sounds right. Yep. Cappy's here. I almost forgot what you look like.
Good looking, right?
Yeah. Okay, you know. Yeah.
Laura's like, break.
George is wherever he is.